Welcome, everybody, to our post-Grammy edition of the VOA1 Popcast, where we talk about some of the big stories of the week in the music world that have caught our eye. To my right is...
The Lady DJ. How are you, Ray?
Hey, Shauna. I'm doing okay. I'm Ray McDonald. I'm pretty much caught up on my sleep.
Have you? I'm still getting there.
I mean,
Give me one more weekend.
The Grammys sort of pushed us over the edge. Mm. It was fun, but it was exhausting.
Yeah, it was. It was. But it was great fun. It was a great show. I enjoyed our viewing party. You and Nikki Strong, we were here and we had our Grammy watch party and pizza, and it was fun. I guess that's how you're supposed to do the Grammys if you're not going to be there.
Exactly right. And then the next day we were all together on hashtag VOA.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we had a good time. Now, moving forward, what are some of the big stories of the week? What do you want to lead off with?
Well, actually, let's go back and then move forward, because although we are now about 4 or 5 days away from the Grammys, there are stories that continue to pop up in and around the tributes. And I know that you kind of had mixed emotions and feelings about Lady Gaga's tribute to David Bowie, and you were very clear about why. However, David Bowie's son, Duncan Jones, I guess during the performance or soon after the performance, released a tweet, or he tweeted something. It was kind of cryptic. And so what he tweeted was, overexcited or irrational, typically as a result of infatuation or excessive enthusiasm, mentally confused. Darn it, what is that word? And so folks went to the dictionary and discovered that that word is, in fact, or that definition, the word for that, is Gaga. So
that was some pretty clever shade.
It was, and I mean, serious shade. So obviously people assumed that he was throwing shade at Lady Gaga's performance and that he was not pleased with it. However, he has not said anything. That was all he tweeted. Since then, a number of fans, David Bowie fans, as well as Lady Gaga fans, have come out to say either, yes, I agree, I don't like it, or I didn't like the performance, or, hey, man, she was a huge fan of your father. She did the best that she could. She did what any fan slash performer would. Give her a break. But anyway, it made the news, and folks are talking about it. And he's been very quiet, as I say, which I think was very strategic as well.
I think it was. There was nothing wrong with the performance per se. Like I said, Lady Gaga has a fantastic voice. Nile Rodgers was the musical director, and Nile worked with Bowie on 4 projects. I just felt it was a little rushed. I felt that they tried to fit too many songs into the allotted time. It just didn't have a heartfelt feeling to it, at least as I heard it. Now, that was my main problem with it. Nile Rodgers said, look, if David and I had listened to everybody else's criticism, nothing would have ever gotten done. So, but he did say Duncan Jones is entitled to his opinions, you know, and that's okay. So in any event, I guess we can all agree to disagree about Lady Gaga's performance. But I know that Gaga is a huge David Bowie fan, and I'm sure it came from her heart.
Oh, absolutely. And I didn't know this until just today when I was researching the story. She had a picture of David Bowie tattooed to her side, on her side, prior to the performance. So,
hey, that's love.
Clearly, she's a huge fan, and that was a big moment for her. And you know, the thing is, when you're doing a tribute, it is very difficult to please everyone, and it's probably even impossible to please the family, because
that's right.
Whenever you're talking about an artist, we love them from a distance, but family members know them and respect them in a different kind of way. And so there was another family member, or 3 or 4 family members, who were upset with the Natalie Cole tribute. Now, we lost Natalie Cole at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone assumed that they would do something. I mean, she was nominated 21 times. I believe she won 9 Grammys. She had a career of over 30 years almost. So it would be logical to assume that there would be something, and there was. They did a little kind of in memory segment where they went through all of the people who had passed away over the course of the year, and they ended with her in a very touching moment from her video for the song Unforgettable, which she sang, if you will, with her father, the late great Nat King Cole. But her son said, and her sister said, that words cannot express the outrage and utter disappointment at the disrespectful tribute or lack thereof to a legendary artist such as our sister.
I have great sympathy for them. It's been a terrible year for losing great musicians, and there have been so many. And as it was, this Grammy ceremony was full of tributes. You had David Bowie, you had B.B. King, you had Lemmy of Motorhead, and even though it was a 3.5-hour show, there was only so much time allotted. So, yeah, I think that Natalie's family had a point. At the same time, where do you say we can't fit in anymore?
Mm-hmm.
So I have great sympathy for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we also have to keep in mind that although the Grammys were aired in February, it's not as if they started putting this thing together at the beginning of the month. I mean, I'm sure a lot of these other tributes were planned prior to her passing. Yeah. And so they did the best that they could with the time that they had. And that's what the Grammy producer said. We thought it was a fitting tribute. It touched us. Yeah. And we assumed that the fans and the people watching would have the same reaction.
It's a tough one.
It is.
David Bowie is receiving some tribute concerts in New York at the end of March and early April. And you could argue that a Natalie Cole tribute concert would also be in order.
Yeah,
because there would be some fantastic artists who would come out for that one.
Sure, sure. And so we'll have to just keep our eyes open and see what happens.
On a different tack now, this news came just today on Thursday, February 19th. I mean, Friday, February 19th. Up in New York City, a judge turned down Kesha's preliminary injunction request that she be released from Sony. And I have to go back and give a little history for those who don't know. Back in October of 2014, Kesha filed a sexual abuse lawsuit against her producer, Dr. Luke. She alleged that he had physically and mentally abused her for many years, ever since she signed a management contract with him when she was 18. And she desperately wanted to be released from her recording contract. Well, the judge refused Kesha's request. The judge says the contract was heavily negotiated and typical for the industry. Dr. Luke then requested that the sexual assault suit be dismissed, but the judge has delayed that decision. Now, seeing that this is an ongoing case, I don't think we can talk too much about it. But the thing that has always struck me about this, right from the first day it was reported, is that we don't usually get a peek behind the curtain in this fashion. Kesha came out and named names, and she was very definite about the abuse that this man supposedly heaped upon her. She said that he was responsible for her going into a rehab for eating disorders for 60 days. And ever since then, Kesha's career has pretty much been on ice. Mm. She hasn't done anything. And she's maintaining that if she stays with Sony, she might never work again, that they will just prevent her from working if she doesn't work with the man who allegedly assaulted her.
Mm.
So I'm not saying that she's right or wrong. What I am saying is it's very unusual for us to, you know, get such an inside glimpse into some of the more sordid workings of the industry.
Yeah, to get those kinds of details, because you hear a number of artists, and unfortunately this is true with young female artists, talk about the pressure that they feel to look a certain way, behave a certain way, work with certain folks, go certain places, but we don't always know where that pressure is coming from. Sometimes we think that it's self-imposed, but the reality is, for as long as I've been in and around the business, I've been hearing stories like this, and you you assume if you hear them over and over and over again that there must be some truth to them, that these young girls are susceptible to certain forms of abuse, or if not abuse, at least pressure from the people around them. You called them earlier, Ray, when we were talking before the show, handlers,
mm-hmm.
folks who are saying, okay, this is how we are going to build your brand.